With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Officina Agile, il primo podcast in Italia per condividere idee e spunti di riflessione con agilisti e appassionati del settore.
Nato per contribuire alla diffusione delle metodologie Lean Agile nel nostro paese.
Hello everyone and welcome back from Matteo to a crazy new episode of Officina Agile, the first and the most listened Italian podcast on Agile. Like every episode, we remind you that you can listen our podcast on Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and of course on our website officinagile.it. As I say in every episode, the time has come, so we put the task introduction in done and let's go over today's topic. This episode belongs to the series of interviews and in particular to the series of interviews that we did at the last Italian Agile Days in Modena. I'm sorry for our English, but I'm very proud to announce the first, and I hope the first of a long series, of international interviews. We have Denis Salnikov with us, who will talk about team self-organization.
Welcome back to Officina Agile interview. This is unusual for you that listen to our podcast. This is the first occasion to make an interview in English, and so we are very proud for this thing. But so
first international speaker.
Yeah, yeah. So bear with us, with me and Matteo for our English. Okay,
yeah.
But maybe our guest can improve.
Maybe Officina Agile could become international, or maybe not.
Let's see.
Because our English.
Okay, no. But introduce our guest here, Denis Salnikov, is a Scrum Master, but maybe it's better that he explain who you are. If you can present yourself in a few words.
Sure. So, first of all, it's a great honor for me to be part of your podcast, guys. My name is Denis. I'm originally coming from Russia, but currently I work and live in Germany, in Berlin. I started my agile journey like 6 years ago, back in Russia. After that, I worked as a Scrum Master there for several years, moved to Cyprus, worked there for a year and a half. And the last 2 years, I work and live in Germany. Mm-hmm. And like I'm a Scrum Master. Sometimes, like in one company, I also had title of Agile Coach, though I don't see a big difference between two of these roles, to be honest. And I have certifications, but like I think it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the real experience you get in your daily working life.
And what is your background before you become a Scrum Master?
Yeah, so unfortunately or not, I was never a software developer before.
It's not a fault.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a fault.
Yeah, sometimes it even helps. Well, I was a project manager and I was working mostly with web development projects. I worked as a project manager for, I think, 2 years or something like that. Before that, I was mainly working in sales. And when I switched to like internet-related software development field, I understood that something that I like, I decided to sign up for master's program in project management. And there was one professor who was the first person to ever tell me about Scrum, Agile, Kanban, all these things. And that was the moment when I went down the rabbit hole.
Can you tell us something about your talk?
Sure. So the topic of my talk is letting the team go, how, when, and why. It's mostly about self-organization. And that's kind of a talk where I would like to give us maybe some kind of a structure and some tools that people, our colleagues like Scrum Masters, Agile Coaches, maybe people from development teams can use to become more self-organized. And there I really try to cover all steps, starting from like company culture, starting from support of the management, like creating the team, applying the tools, because I've seen it many times and I did this fault myself before when you try to introduce Scrum only on the team level, and it doesn't really take off or bring a lot of benefit, because to apply Scrum and to be efficient with Scrum, you really also need to change things outside of the development team. You need to address culture, you need to address how decision making is done, you need to address how you approach the product. And my main idea of the topic is, besides this, also to make people understand that as a Scrum Master, like Scrum Master is, in my opinion, something pretty different from, like, for example, Project Manager. In classic project management, the success of the project is still heavily dependent on the project manager, how he mitigates risks, how he manages people, how he organizes like resource planning, this kind of stuff. In my opinion, our jobs as a Scrum Master and Agile Coach is to bring teams to some level of self-organization and then kind of let them go and let them be self-organized. Because if everything is, after like 1 year, like 6 months, 9 months of you working with the team, everything is still heavily dependent on you, then I think you're doing something wrong. Because like, if we take Agile Manifesto, if we take Scrum Guides, it all says that, like, Agile Manifesto says that the best design, architecture, decisions, code come from the self-organized teams. Scrum Guide also says that Scrum teams are self-organized and cross-functional. So self-organization, I think, is one of the core factors for success.
Mm-hmm. Is there a definition of Dan about self-organization? How do you know that the team, can go alone without mm-hmm. me?
Well, first of all, I think there is a very nice book called Scrum Mastery by Geoff Watts.
Yeah, I've read it.
Yeah, and I like his like manner of putting quotations in the beginning of every chapter. Mm-hmm. And the quotations that I remembered a lot is that a good Scrum Master, the good Scrum Master makes himself indispensable for the team, and the great Scrum Master makes himself not needed but desired. So that the team is at the point when they already can understand the benefits of the process, understand why we do it that way, understand that sometimes we can step left or right from the like original process to try something new and to do experiments. But at the same time, when they face some problems, they come back to you and ask for your help. And you are not the person continuously pushing them forward. They're pushing themselves, but when they stuck into the wall, have some like really huge impediments, they come back to you and ask for your help. This is, I think, very important measurement of how far our team is in terms of self-organization.
And I'm curious, because you were a project manager, and when you learn something about Agile and when you love it, a methodology, you choose to become a Scrum Master, and not a product owner. Yeah, I don't know, but when you said before, I was a project manager and I became a Scrum Master, an Agile Coach. Mm-hmm. Maybe I imagine that the natural transformation, could be from project manager to product owner. I don't know. I'm curious about your choice.
Yeah, so first of all, I felt in love with Agile in general, and I decided to be a Scrum Master because I really like this human part of the Agile, like the human part it brought. Like, even I myself, when I started to apply this for the first time, when I started showing more humane attitude towards developers, mm-hmm. trying to establish personal relations with them, like have a small talk in the kitchen while taking coffee, going out for the lunch, I saw that it already gave much more improvement in terms of predictability, in terms of atmosphere in the team, in terms of how much we can rely on each other. And I think this is why I decided to be a Scrum Master. So to be honest, I myself, I'm an introvert. I'm not a very talkative person. Usually I'm just sitting quietly, do active listening and say something short and precise in the end. But at the same time, I really like to see how team becomes more efficient, how they understand how much hidden power do they have, which they didn't recognize before. And they really start utilizing it to become more efficient, to also have much more joy from coming to the office every day, because we spend 40 hours every week in our offices. It doesn't make a lot of sense to spend, I think, 40 hours of every week in a place which you hate to come to.
You need to enjoy it. I'm with you completely.
Yeah, and I would say that for me there was no such question whether to become a Scrum Master or product owner, because product people, even though they're part of the Scrum team, they are much more like a classic project managers. They're like working with figures. They need to have like competitive analysis to understand risks, to like to maintain the backlog, to inspect and adapt our roadmap. And like, this is not as humane job as like Scrum Master or Agile Coach.
Another one, situational question. Mm-hmm. On Monday, you are the Scrum Master of a brand new team. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you should do?
Well, if it's a team created from scratch, then it makes sense, I think, to help like a Scrum team kickoff. And that's what I also will mention in my topic today. So I think it makes sense to hold a two-day workshop to, first of all, like onboard people into the product, or maybe even co-create the vision of the product if we don't have it yet, to really do some groundwork to establish personal relations within the team. And like different tools from management 3.0 really help with that, like, I don't know, personal maps, moving motivators, competency metrics. Then also to hold a very deep and thorough like onboarding into Scrum, if we're talking about Scrum, or into some different framework, because we all know that in every company, even if there are like two, three companies doing good Scrum, still in each company, Scrum will have its own flavor. It will be unique because like it's what Agile is about. And it's good to make sure that we are really like talking on the same language, that we have definition of done, that when we say like the product owner, we mean the same like responsibilities and boundaries. When we say the Scrum Master, we mean the same. When we understand like why, for example, we have sprint review, sprint planning, sprint retrospective, like how do they correlate to the inspect and adapt cycle, which is like a natural part of Scrum. So I think this is an important part when it comes to the kicking off the new team. But I would also say that if you are joining the team that already exists and you are just a new Scrum Master there, I personally prefer to do like just observations and interviews for the first 2 weeks, because like even if you come and you see some like low hanging fruits in terms of processes that can be improved, just you shouldn't jump in directly and start doing this, because like this team has some history background before you. They have like maybe some. So what you as a new person might observe as an anti-pattern, maybe not an anti-pattern, but like a natural outcome of some evolutionary process that they went through. And like if you don't spend enough time, like 1, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, just being a silent observer at the meetings, just sitting with the team in their team space and like see how they're working throughout the working day, there is a pretty high risk that you can make things worse than they were before, not improve the things.
Another one, the last one, I promise. In your opinion, in which situation is better to have, as a Scrum Master, a technical background?
Well, you know, it's always like a question of balance, because like that's not only about Scrum Master, also about product owner. So, for example, the product we are currently working in my company is very like heavily technical dependent. So it doesn't have beautiful, fancy UI. It's not like about design. It's mostly about like API and like microservice architecture. So of course it makes sense to understand such basic things. But at the same time, like being onboarded into like what microservices mean, what is API, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't call this a technical background. It's just like knowing basic stuff if you're working in the software development field. Technical background may help you to, for example, I don't know, help the team in introducing engineering practices, because if they, for example, really resistant to trying mob programming or pair programming, okay, you can just sit with them and do pair programming and see if they see any benefit from it or not. When you don't have technical background, unfortunately, you don't have such luxury. But at the same time, it's, I think, a question of self-control, because when you have a technical background, there is a very high chance that you may, when you see some imperfection, you start giving solutions instead of helping the team to come to a solution, or like instead of like asking coaching questions to help them understand what is going wrong, you just give them a plain answer. And this is once again not the way you can develop self-organization in the team.
Yeah, maybe I said that it's not your fault that you have not technical background, because maybe a Scrum Master like you maybe can see other processing, like see the team from 3 meters far away. So maybe, okay, can recognize some trouble that maybe if you had a technical background, maybe you think like a developer and like a team member. So maybe if you don't have a technical background, maybe you can think in another way. Maybe you are wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you, surely you have a different perspective, no?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's why if we are talking not about a small company of like 10, 15, 20 people, but of a bigger company, it's good if we have like a team of Scrum Masters, like a group of Scrum Masters, and they have different backgrounds. If someone comes from a technical background, if someone comes from like some other background, for example, I myself, I understand that I'm more like a system thinker. I'm like focused on like social psychology, on group dynamics. And this is also a thing that maybe this person with a technical background don't have. But if we have this community and if we always open to come with assistance to each other, if we like, I don't know, for example, can come to each other's meetings, if we have a Scrum Master, so like Agile Coaches Guild or community, then this will help us to get the best from each of us and to apply, really make sure that in every situation or every problem we have, we can tackle it using the best solution.
Yeah, this is the cross-functionality also in a Scrum Master team.
Yeah.
It's basically like a cross-functionality on developer team.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You like, we talk a lot about T-shaped people, and like it's good that each of us has some basic specialization, but we don't need to be specialists in everyone, in everything. Like even though, like for example, when I was at the Agile Team Facilitation training, we were like discovering this Agile Coach framework where you have like which says like that there are several domains you need to develop yourself in, like understanding the business, understanding the product, understanding the technical side, group dynamics, system thinking. And it's pretty clear that you can't be a specialist in all of this because, like, okay, maybe you can be a specialist in everything if you're, like, in the industry for 30 years, for example. Yeah. But I myself, I'm in the industry only for 6 years. I have a pretty clear understanding where are my strong points and where are my weak points, and I'm not shy to talk about that. I'm not uncomfortable to talk about that because, like, I think that's also kind of part of leading by example. If you tell to the team that we need to have a safe environment and we need to like be able to fail safely and to admit our failures and to learn from them, it would be very strange for my side to be a person who says, "Oh, guys, but you need to fail, but I'm perfect. I don't have to improve anything." I think that sometimes, especially when I come to new teams, I even like put myself into uncomfortable situations with intention because like this gives me a chance to show that I'm not considering myself to be the smartest guy in the room and that I always have something to learn from everyone. I had a very like back at the, I think, Agile Prague conference, there was a very good talk about this topic. And there was one example that the speaker with his wife once went for like to do water skiing, like when you do water skiing, and there was a guy with them who is like a world champion in like also doing skiing, but not on the skis, but on the like waterboard, like snowboard, but on water. And every time he was trying to stand on skis, he was falling. Like, and the wife of the speaker, she like had some experience of doing water skiing, and like when he fell another time, she just gave him few advices, like the housewife gave few advices to the world champion. And like when he tried it the next time, he succeeded because like he got some information from the person who knows something about that, even though she's not a world champion or even not a professional.
Yeah, but it's shaped in this skill.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is very important to always recognize and understand that you are not the smartest person in the world, that we like always have something to learn from each other and be open to that, because otherwise, like, I don't think that you have a very high chance of succeeding.
So, thank you.
Thank you very much. We are very proud to talk with you.
Yeah. Good luck for your talk and enjoy the conference.
Yeah. Thank you very much as well. Or maybe I should say grazie ragazzi.
You are better than us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also this time, we arrived at the end of the episode. Despite our English, I hope that it has left you something useful. I remind you that for any question, feedback or order, you can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or if you prefer, you can send us an email to officinagile@gmail.com. or a direct message on our Slack community, officinagile.slack.com. I recommend you to keep following us because in the next days we will continue to publish the interviews we did at the last Italian Agile Days. They are many and especially very nice. Greetings from me, from Matteo. See you at the next episode of Officina Agile. Bye!
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.